Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. All right, Rock Movers, we are bringing someone back because literally my brother from another mother, former retired Navy, just go-giver deluxe, over the top, and I don't even know where to start other than to say, Scott Ferguson, thank you for joining me today.
My sister from another mister. I love it.
Oh. My
I'm
gosh,
so glad to be here. And hey, Rock Movers, I'm so blessed to be here, KG. It's
so good. Awesome. Well, of all the people who have moved rocks, you and I have moved some similar rocks.
Yes, we have.
And I love talking to people who see adoption as a gift and a rock all at the same time. Yeah. Because we both have this heart for people that I think the adoption helped craft.
Yes.
So I would love for you to share whatever you feel open to sharing today, but let's talk about how this rock of adoption has made you this lover of people today, because I don't know anybody who has a heart for people, for serving, and for, as you say, filling the gap for people the way that you do. And I know you do that for your business, but you just do that for humanity.
Thank you.
And I want to mirror that back for you today because you are such a love bug from being this hard-ass Navy guy, special ops. Like, dude, you are the biggest, softest teddy bear. I know Susan would say yes, but.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a bit to get there. I think, you know, off mic, I told you I'm a recovering narcissist. You're never recovered because the tendencies still kind of come up a little bit. But, you know, I was, you know, born in the Philippines in 1972. My father was an American GI and kind of came through there. I know now that he actually loved my mother and my biological mother, but he had to go off to Vietnam. And so he didn't know she was pregnant with me. And because there were year stints over there at that time, you know, so at that time, mixed breed males, meaning American GIs were knocking up the Filipino women, and the Filipino women are pretty little people. And so are the men, right? They're afraid that the bastard children, especially the males, were going to be raised, you know, grow into the, you know, I'm 6 foot, 240. I go, you know, I'm put together pretty well. I'm bigger than the average guy, but even the average American's 190, right? And
right.
So, you know, they're afraid that physically the bastard children, males, were going to grow up and take over the Philippine Islands. So they immediately started taking the bastard male children and shipping them to Spain, because the Philippines is a Spaniard island. It's controlled by Spain. No one knows what really happened to those kids, right? Hopefully they got adopted out or something. But I was blessed. There was an Air Force couple that was stationed in Subic Bay. And, you know, they had two children. They were looking to adopt a third, you know, adopt another child. And they literally took me from my biological mother and put me in their arms and said that I was theirs. And, you know, they brought me back to the United States at the time on a temporary visa. And when they came back, I came back because the woman who was going to adopt me, her father was like getting sick and he ended up dying. She went schizophrenic, not handle reality. Who would have been my father? You know, it was already raising two children. I can't raise this third. They put me in an orphanage in California. And so, again, I remember very little, if any, of this, right?
How old were you when that happened?
Oh, I was adopted at 26 months. So
okay.
There was
so
some
right
time.
Around two.
Right. Yeah, there was some time. But I ended up getting adopted by a family out of the Detroit, Michigan area. And that father, who is my best friend in the world right now, my dad, he was an alcoholic really bad from Vietnam. Right. My mom kind of followed suit. So they couldn't really raise me. So they adopted me and they divorced and then they couldn't raise me. So I was kind of shipped from, you know, families to families to families. Now, I know you kind of started this off with how awesome adoption is. And that sounds like maybe I don't think it is, but it's still the greatest gift that you can give a human being, 100%. Just please be ready for it. But I also give my parents, who had ended up adopting me, a lot of credit because I'm this dark-skinned baby. And we lived in Michigan. This is 1972, 74, and racism was really rampant then. So my dad, but my dad didn't mess with me. He's like 6'5", you know, big dude, right? And so he never really messed with him, but we'd get looks. So I give them a lot of credit for that. It's not like now you adopt someone out of your race. Everyone's like, oh, yay. You know, back then it wasn't that. But, you know, I found
an identity. I love the sarcasm in that. Oh,
right. Yay. I found an identity in sports. It was pretty good. Oh. And I was tried out, excelled, got some looks from different colleges. But they decided that they didn't like a 1.6 grade point average because that's about what I carried, you know. So they're like, get the grade, go to JUCO, you know, junior college, play a sport, you know, let us look at you and do this. I'm like, dude. And then my dad, who I did circle back and end up living with my dad through my high school years, he's like, I ain't living here without paying rent. So I just was like, my military sounds fun, you know, just gets me out. It's the beginning of Desert Storm, so I'm all like big balls, I'm gonna go do it. It's not like that. It's scary. Anyways, so I went in the military, found a family that I'm still super close with to this day. I'm blessed to live in South Florida now with, you know, all the fellas come down in February around my birthday. And we go to a golf tournament, you know, PGA golf tournament, we hang out, but we're still super close. We'll be there for each other in a heartbeat. But, you know, adoption is absolutely necessity in this world because there's a lot of kids that are without. But if you're going to do it, you know, do it the right way. My parents, I'm not going to say didn't do it the right way because we circled back to each other. I mean, I carry my mom on my chest right now. This is her ashes, you know, that adopted me, you know, and we became really good friends at the end. But yeah, it's just been, there's a lot of lessons that just kind of like I was able to learn along the way and then lessons I didn't learn the moment, but can reflect back on and learn them.
Yeah.
That's my long-winded response. Sorry.
Not sorry at all. So. When is your birthday in February?
21st. I'm wearing the Pisces and
No way.
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
Pierce is the 21st. Yeah, I know. We always wish each other Facebook happy birthday.
Why did I forget this? Okay. Sorry, I'm having a moment. I do suck. I am horrible, horrible friend. Failed, epic failure. So yeah, I totally forgot that. Yes, we do share that. So you're my Irish brother.
Yep. We are.
Okay. It's my Irish twin.
It's funny. I'm looking at us on screen and we almost could be. We have the high cheekbones. if people are watching, let me see. I'll put on glasses. So we could be.
These we are.
White glasses, though.
And we're both adopted, so
yes, we are. You never know.
Other than we both done DNA. Okay. What I heard you say and something I want to like circle back on is you talk about like the struggle that you had with being this narcissist. I think as someone who is adopted and gone through all that, like that's how you coped, right? Like those are skills 100%. You adopted to protect you.
Yes. Abandonment rears an ugly head and it's the only way you do it is. Yeah.
So fostered. Wait, let's go back. Orphaned, fostered, adopted. The gift that we have now, and I think that creates this huge empathetic heart that we both have, is that now we're chosen.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And so.
Yep.
So when I see you, and maybe that's because this is how I choose to see you, but I only see heart. Mm-hmm. Like I only see this big hearted, loving guy. And probably because I didn't know you back then.
Sure.
When you were going through the wounded, big wounded time. But I also know that you come from a place of, okay, this happened to me, and now I get to share this rock, right? This thing that's happened.
Right.
And I get to help others avoid that.
Love it. Yeah, that's a great way to look at that. Absolutely.
And so we get to take all of the lessons, which is really the mantra and the method of my madness behind the Rock Mover movement, is that life's going to happen. But we have a choice in what we do with those rocks, those things that happen along the way, and what we make them mean, and what we do forward to help others because we've gone through that. So what I've seen and experienced with you is that you have this capacity to just hold space for people so that they can see their own strengths within this safe container. I think that's what makes you an amazing coach. I think that's what makes you a great friend. I think that's why people are magnetized to you, because you just have this unconditional, like, yeah, that's going to suck. And?
Yeah, it is going to suck. Yeah.
You screwed up. And?
Right.
Right? Like, you just have this unconditional empathy and capacity to just be there for people, which I think is the gift of adoption, because we've been in the place where people weren't there for us.
100%. Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
I find sometimes, like, I don't know if you do, but like, we almost overcompensate sometimes for wanting to be there for people.
No.
It will cross boundaries. You know, the person that taught me how to be a coach. You know, because I would hear somebody and be like, I'd spit out questions, then like actually start coaching. I'm not a consultant, so I don't tell them what to do, but I will start spitting out questions to them without asking for permission, right? And coaching 101 is permission, you know? And so I had to rein it in, you know, a little bit also to be like, I want to help everybody. You know, our mantra at Time to Shine Today is, we don't want to have anyone to feel like they have no one, you know? Yeah. And that's what it is. And then again, it doesn't matter if, you know, you're thinking about your last day on earth, you want it to be your last day on earth, and we have somebody for you. You know, if you're like, you trying to hit a couple extra home runs in your baseball game, we have some of them.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been blessed to interview, you know, over 400 coaches, pick up steps from them, but also be able to refer people to them. Again, we don't want to have anyone to feel like they have no one, you know, so that's just, it's worked out pretty well for it. So I appreciate it. That, you know, I do what I love in the service of people that love what I do, right? So I love to coach in the service of people that see that I love coaching, and it really works out.
So in the service of coaching, and you said you learn from someone, who was that someone, and what do you feel like the greatest lesson is that if someone's listening to this now, because we know since COVID, there's a whole nother level of people that have come into the coaching world.
Yeah, of course.
Some call themselves coaches. They're not really coaching. we'll leave that there.
Yeah.
And, but these people who are coaches, right? They have the heart of a coach, or they just want to mentor or teach, whatever capacity they come with.
Right.
What was the one thing that person taught you about coaching, other than get permission first?
Right. That was the number one thing I went with. But, The number one thing is that I'm a coach. I'm not a consultant. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people will start giving advice, and that is not a coach. It's like, if you're familiar with football, did, you know, Bill Belichick play one play of football? No, but he helped him game plan for it. So one, you're a coach. You're not a consultant. Like, again, I've talked to you off mic of people that I've coached that forgot more about their business than I'll ever know or really care to know. But I also am a huge believer that everyone knows what they want. They just don't know how to talk themselves into it, right? In that every challenge that resides inside them, the answer is there too. But like you said, you know, as coaches, we hold that mirror up in front and let them kind of work through it. And I'm the clients that I'm blessed to coach in South Florida, I put them in the driver's seat of their car. One, I want to see what their car looks like on the inside, whether, I don't care what kind of car they drive, but do they keep it neat and clean? I can really see, you know, what kind of personality I'm working with on someone's car. But really, I'm...
Like, you're talking, like, not metaphorically, like physically in their car.
And then we kind of get into the metaphorically of, I have them sit in the driver's seat, right, and say, this rearview mirror, it's small for a reason. That's your past. If you're stuck there, then I have to refer you to a therapist because I'm not qualified to, and that's all obstacles that you're placing in your way that I just, as a coach, you're helping them bridge that gap. So as they're sitting there driver's seat, I see this huge windshield. It's big, scary. Oh my gosh, where are we going? You know, since 2011 or so on the dashboard, they've been putting these things called GPS. That's what I am for you. I can't buckle your seatbelt. I can't, if you so choose to, I can't start your car, put it in gear and go. But, you know, if I'm going to Karen's house and there's a, you know, big party she's throwing and a tree falls across the ground, am I just going to turn around, go home and cry like a baby? No, I'm going to hit the GPS. I'm going to find another way. And again, being a gap coach is, you know, we know where they want, they know where they want to go. Again, everyone knows what they want. Mm-hmm. They just don't know how to talk themselves into it. And they're here. Yeah. I help them bridge that gap. And
sorry,
so
you said GPS and I'm just like, ideas are spinning. I've got it. I didn't have a piece of paper. I'm like, I got to have a piece of paper because I got to write something down. I'm going to tell you this later.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody, no matter where they are in life, you know, wants to live a life of options and not obligations, right? And as a coach, I'm able to help them get there, you know, and live a life of options. Everybody wants to, it doesn't have to always be monetarily. You know, they might want an option of being, having a date night with their significant other that hasn't happened, or, you know, reuniting with their children, or, you know, getting on the same wavelength. You know, or if they want to put an extra comma in their bank account, I mean, that's awesome. And like, that's the thing is that, you know, if you can help to be that reflection for them, you know, the options start to come.
And I love all of that. And you gave me so many ideas. So as you're listening to this podcast, y'all, I hope you have a pen and paper because I'm like scrambling as we're saying this. Scott is amazing with dropping golden nuggets. Like he spits them out like air, like he's just breathing. It's like nugget, nugget, mic drop. So
it's called regurgitation. And yes, the name of my book is Regurgitate. You're going to be in it as well, the book, because I'm just taking every podcast interview and I'm regurgitating my knowledge nuggets I pulled from them.
Oh, gosh.
Right. And if you really think about it, like Tony Robbins, you know, I'm blessed to call him a friend, but also someone I admire the what he does. But he regurgitates everything Jim Rohn did. And Jim Rohn regurgitates Earl Nightingale, Wallace Wattles, all the way back to Seneca or Aristotle. Everything is a regurgitation, just putting your own flavor on it and then really listening with all my senses. I call it listening with your neck, right? Leaning in with my clients and really getting all senses. And that can be on a journey with anyone anywhere.
Yeah, I love that. And that takes some pressure off to have to know anything. And as a coach, we don't have to know how to play football to coach someone to play football. Like, I don't have to physically have the strength to stand up against a refrigerator Perry to be able to tell the guy on the other side of the refrigerator what to do, right?
So the greatest lesson I learned on that is in 1980, you and I were both alive, so we're old, whatever. But the Miracle on Ice, right? The rush.
Favorite movie.
Right.
I love that.
But the Russian hockey team, there was a person named Mikhail Malachev. He was an actor on stage, revered in Russia. Whether it's Soviet Union at the time, just absolutely revered.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that built the Soviet hockey team because they wanted a flow on the ice. They were unbeatable for years, but it wasn't a hockey player that built the team. It was an actor that leaned into it, found ways for things to flow. And these hockey players, where it's Sergei Fetisov, Konstantinov, all these legends that played the game, look back at that guy and go, dude, he was an actor. So you don't, like you say, you don't have to be a football player to coach somebody. You just have to love enough and do things in the service of others.
Yeah.
You know, that's what is awesome about coaching. So let me ask you something, KG. I know you're interviewing me, but do you ever link your capabilities to do you ever link your confidence to your capabilities?
Of course.
Okay. And so what does that bring up? That brings up a lot of
insecurities and imposter syndrome.
Right.
And so that is.
Right.
And as an adoptee, it just like validates the self-worth or lack thereof feelings, right? Because
exactly.
We have proof. We go looking for proof.
Stuck.
Right?
But if we can get the people finding out their why, what is your intention? So you link your intention, right? Then the capability doesn't matter.
Right.
The intention's there. So that's a big thing about the way that I kind of go about is I, what are you intending to do? I mean, all my clients out there, they know that they've got to give me their intention for the day by 9 a.m. along with three things they're grateful for, right? In a text. And, you know, so if we can stay close to our intentions, your confidence just calms. It just does. How am I able to speak on stage in front of 3,000 people 2 weeks ago where I told you that their average, you know, net worth is $5 million, right?
Yeah.
And what gives me the right to do that? You know, because my intentions are I want to help them, right? So then the confidence comes. So that's where a lot of people are stuck is like where they link their confidence to their capabilities. It's like, dude, you haven't studied this long. You haven't made this. That's your capabilities. But if your intention's there, you can do anything within reason. I mean, you can't go and be Reggie Jackson or like you said, Fridge Perry, but it's there. It's got rid of, for the most part, my imposter syndrome, you know, because my intention's there to help, love on people and want to see the best happen for them.
Such a gift. So when you add intentions to the knowledge of just the right questions, I think that is where the true gift of great coaching is inspired from.
100%.
Is knowing the right questions. I created a list of powerful questions when I was coaching this real estate coaching company, and none of them are unique, like mind-blowing questions, right? Mm-hmm. They're just really basic coaching questions.
Right.
But in the context for that team, it was just like, oh my gosh, these are amazing. Right. Because I was coaching real estate coaches. So they were coaching other people. And sometimes we just get in a groove or a lane and we just don't look around and see other ways of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And so the powerful thing about like, okay, what are you making this mean?
Right.
It's like, mind blown, you know, and it's not really anything amazing, but I didn't have to know real estate. I didn't have to be a licensed real estate agent to be able to ask that question that changed their business.
Right. Right.
So
also about it is a lot of people will say, I do affirmations every day, right? About like, I'm good, I'm great, I'm terrific, I'm this, I'm that, and this is happening for me, which is great. I do them too. Well, what changed everything for me and that my clients are required to do is change every one of those affirmations into a question, a powerful question. You know, how is it that I am so disciplined that I get this done? Why? How? Where did I get this talent from? Because, again, our minds are programmed to problem solve, right? That's just the human mind. We are evolved. We are the only living species on this earth that does not live to the ultimate capability. People say, well, that dog's fat. No, the owner's fat. No offense. Okay, they don't walk the dog. Right? It's like, we're the only thing. You look at a tree, it grows as tall as the roots allow it to. We're the only living creature that has it. So when you start asking yourself powerful questions, it banks into the reticular activating system, the RAS, right? And when you have the RAS, speaking of definitives, you know, how is it that I never live with shame, guilt, or conflict? How is, you know, how do I make this much money and stuff? Instead of affirmations, you ask the question, subconscious mind starts going, starts turning on, you know, the reticular activating system. And then, you know, things
about finding the proof.
Solutions start coming, right? Like, that's why people are like, why do I have to send you three things you're grateful for? Well, what do you want to send me? Things you're not grateful for? So what do you think that RAS is going to have? And all those people out there that might not know what the RAS is, if Karen was to tell me, hey, Fergie, I got a Tesla. And I'm like, what's a Tesla? And you're like, come over and check it out. So I go over there, I check it out. Never seen one before in my life. And I see Karen's emotion to it. So I'm emotional to it, right? Her husband's emotional to it. My woman might be emotional to it. On the ride home, how many Teslas do you think I'm going to see?
Yeah, hundreds that were there all the time, but you never saw
exactly
them.
So that's why the gratitude's got to be done daily with me.
Yeah.
You know, the gratitude's got to be there. And we move into powerful question of the day, you know? How is it that I am the most sought after, you know, mindset gap coach on earth? You know, and you start, things will just start working for you. It's not magic. You have to be able to, it's going to look for things to problem solve. And the opportunities will be there. And like you just said, if you're present to it, you grab it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's just the coaching that I work. And again, people get a little bit pissy, and I get even more pissy if I don't have my you know, protocol by 9 a.m., you know, their time. So if I have clients in California by noon, I better have them, you know? So, but yeah, it's...
I love it. So, So this whole shift, these great, powerful questions and utilizing our brain to work for it.
Right.
How did that come from, or where did that come from in correlation with your adoption journey? Like, was that a coping mechanism? Was that something that's just developed as you've grown? Was it a gift from someone, just knowledge imparted to you?
Yeah. I was a person that lived in a lot of, because of the abandonment feelings and stuff like that, I was a person that lived in fear a lot. Like, what's next? Mm. If I'm thinking, what's next? What do you think's going to be next? Nothing good. You're just going to get more of the crap that you have. But, you know, luckily I had a mentor that told me two things. Sam Misuraca. Sam, big shout out for you. He said, don't take life too seriously. We're not making it out alive. Right? We all die.
Yeah.
Right? And that faith and fear both start with the letter F, but they also have another thing in common. They're a belief in something that hasn't happened yet. So what are you going to back it with? Mm-hmm. What are you going to back your life with, faith or fear? Once I just start backing it, and again, please don't think I'm going to religious connotation. I am a Christian. I'm unabashedly fine with telling people that, but I'm not asking you to do that. Back it with faith, a belief in yourself, and back that belief with education and passion, and back that with a persistence that doesn't recognize failure in everything can happen for you. You know?
So how do you have a resilience that doesn't accept failure? Like, how did you build that? Because that's a choice too.
I have him on my wall up here. There's a running back that I consider the best running back ever, Barry Sanders, right? He lost as many, he would lose so many yards a game. Right. He's also one of the best running backs to ever play the game. And me being from Detroit, you know, number one seed this year, by the way, in the playoffs.
Go Lions. Shout out to the Lions.
That's right. But he always said, and I was blessed to actually personal train his wife, Lauren, at the time in Detroit. He always said, dude, it's like, as long as I fall forward and I added fail to it, right? It's like, if he's going to get tackled, he doesn't want to get tackled, he's got to fall forward. Get whatever you can, right? Inch by inch, it's a cinch. By the yard, it's hard. Okay? It's like, dude, just get a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and eventually you're going to break one. You know, so that's where that kind of came from. You know, it was a patience with a persistence that didn't recognize failure, and everybody's failing, and welcome failing, that you're going to fail forward. I mean, you know, if you hit 300 in baseball, you're going to the Hall of Fame. That means you failed 7 times, dude. Do that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's the facts. You know, I'm blessed to coach 2 Major League Baseball players. One there in Texas, go Rangers, you know, they won the World Series. And, like, we had to bring him back to the basics, you know, when he slumped, you know. And, you know, just understand that failure is part of it. And that goes in life, too. Not just if you're an elite athlete. It's like everything, you know. And not...
So...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, for someone that has just such deep-rooted soul-attached fears, right? Mm-hmm. So fear of abandonment, fear of whatever, right? Just this lack of enoughness that tends to follow with an adoption, or someone that has been through deep emotional primal trauma. I hear what you're saying. I've gone through my process, but I know in the midst of all of that mental soup, what I'm hearing you say is just like, that's hogwash. Like, I can't even conceptualize that for me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you just make a decision to do that?
Yeah. I had to learn forgiveness real fast. And I had to learn what forgiveness actually meant to me. You know, like, can I ask you what your definition of forgiveness is?
For me personally?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever articulated. So forgiveness, what it's become for me is an acceptance that I did the very best that I could. And I'm going to assume that about others as well, that in our brokenness, our woundedness, someone did the best that they could.
Absolutely.
And yeah, whatever happened was their efforts to protect themselves.
Love it. Love it.
And I can let that be and let that go.
100%. I love that. And I actually wrote a couple things down on that as well that you just said. Like,
and I think for me to know as a Christian also that there's a premise that I'm forgiven.
Yep.
And those that have come before me that have done horrible things to me, how am I to hold that over them when I've been forgiven? Right. Love it. So there's that.
We live in big glass houses, right?
Right. Yeah. Funny. With a pile of rocks at our feet. So, I think that's what it would be, is that whole, you know, if that can happen for me, who am I to withhold that from someone else? Because when I do, I'm the one that's hurting. Sure. I'm not hurting them by not forgiving them.
Right. Yeah.
So really, it's more so for me than it is for the person I'm forgiving.
And forgiving ourselves is probably harder than anything. A lot of
way time, harder.
Right.
Yeah. So forgiveness is where it starts. Then what? Then how do you move into this place where you can be fearless, where you can see yourselves as worthy, where you can, you know, choose yourself? As I've said several times in this podcast, it's about choosing. How do I choose me when I don't see me as worthy?
Right. Yeah, 100%. Rod Harrison is a master coach. He flies really under the radar. I just taught a lot from him. And I would bitch about my past a lot. You know, this is when I was really getting in the coaching. This is 2009, 2010. And Rod is an absolute badass human being. Awesome. Like this black dude, African American, that is just built like a brick, Navy SEAL. You know, and he walked out and I was just saying, he's like, man, you got to start forgiving. I'm like, how the hell did I do that? And he's like, dude, he's like, brother Fergie, he's like, forgiveness is nothing more than giving up the hope of a better past. That's all it is. Once you can just realize that you can't change a thing and progress forward, giving up the hope of a better past. I say that to myself every day. You know, every single, I have it on my wall, stenciled. You know, and that responsibility is the ability to respond. It's rooted right in the word. So be responsible, respond to stuff, but don't worry about that. That's why I love doing the analogy in the car with my clients, or even prospects, if they're not clients yet, of the rearview mirror. Yeah, it's small for a reason, but dude, there's nothing we can do. But there are nuggets in there that we can pull forward, that we can learn from and visit. Right. Like if I have to go to, you know, Fort Worth and visit you in the hubs and we had a great night, that's in my rear view, but I'd be like, oh, that was awesome. Can't wait to do it again. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. So, you know, but just giving up a hope of a better past, knowing you can do nothing about it, just really put it, it dumbed it down for me to be like, I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about
that. Yeah, that really like simplifies it so much.
So that's on Rod, man. Rod's the man, you know, and he, you know, he's out hanging out with Shaquille O'Neal. He's out hanging out doing his thing. And I'm blessed to call him a really good friend, but he's so far under the radar. You know, that's where I got my stay under the radar kind of, you know, thing. But I'm blessed to work with some big names, but I don't, you know, he's just like, dude, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, he lives
in Austin. That's,
like,
that is jerk. Such a gift.
Yeah.
That's such a gift that you have, though, is that you see people as just that. They're people. And I think that's why people in large politically or, I don't know, celebrities or people who are seen in an elevated status are comfortable with you because you treat them as people.
Yeah. Yeah. I want nothing from anybody but their knowledge. That's the only thing I want. My superpower is curiosity, right? And that's...
But isn't that the best gift that we have to give people?
It is. It's just, if I can learn something, and if I pick every single phrase, nugget that I drop, I came up with none of it, right? It's just stuff that sticks in me that I would memorize every freaking day, that it became part of my subconscious, that started looking for things to forget. It started looking for people to serve. It started, you know, and realizing this, and that there's so many, and then you have the other end of the spectrum of people that want to give, 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 yet they don't know how to receive, right? They don't, you know, and
that would be my journey.
I think you might be one of them.
Yeah, literally just called myself out. I totally threw myself under the bus. I really have a hard time receiving.
Do you have a plant in your house?
In the past. Do I what?
Do you have a plant in your house?
Mm-hmm, right there.
Okay, look at it. Okay, what do you breathe in?
Oxygen.
What do we breathe in?
Oxygen.
Okay, what do we breathe out?
Carbon dioxide.
Okay, what does the plant breathe in?
Carbon dioxide.
What does it breathe out?
Oxygen.
Does it have a freaking choice?
No.
Why do we give ourselves choices? I'm guilty of it too. You know what I'm saying? We're a living organism. You know, also, you know, we're just blessed with an intellect that my God gave us. You know, you're God too, you know, since our beliefs are the same. But it's like we limit ourselves. You know, you can never you've heard this, and we can never outgive the universe. It's impossible. Right. So just give until it hurts so good, right? And then, but be open to the reciprocation. That's where I would really suck. Like, I would give, be like, feel so great giving. And somebody be like, hey, man, here's tickets to this. Oh, no, man. Feel like I wasn't worthy of, like, box seats somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And luckily, not luckily, I've aligned things. I have people that are like, Fergie, take them.
Yeah.
Just take them, you know? And then now I'll just whatever. If you're like, hey, Ferg, here's a plane ticket to Fort Worth. You know, you and Susan come out and visit. I'm like, okay, cool. I might buy you guys a really nice dinner, you know, my way of reciprocating. But, you know, it's just like I've been getting a lot better at, not taking, but receiving.
Receiving, you know? Yeah. Because isn't it in the receiving that we're telling ourselves, that person, and God, the universe, number one, thank you.
Right?
Right? Yeah. But also, yes, I align with that. I deserve that. Receive that because I can, right? Okay. Lord, we could talk forever.
I know we're going to wrap up a little bit, but
no. So in your greatest lessons and in everything that you've done, and I mean, which is phenomenal. We can't even mention all the things that you've done.
Right.
There is a humility that is your underlying tenor, that is admirable. And that from the first time we met until now, you have been consistently the same. You always show up the exact same way. I want to recognize you for that, first off. But second off, for someone that doesn't know you, that they're like, okay, because I know there's probably one or two people in my world that don't know Scott Ferguson, maybe. What do they need to know about you that they couldn't learn from this podcast or from A Time to Shine Today or from whatever they can see on social that the world really needs to know about you?
Okay, it's like you already figured, like I'm kind of an open book, so I'm always wanting to share. But I really am leaning into doing things for the intention and not the attention. And when Facebook and all that stuff first came out, I was like, look at me, and I would get all these likes and all that stuff, and realize that I'm really not helping anybody but myself. So there's kind of doing things for the intention and not the attention, right? And I just really want to plant, like yourself, and I said this on my podcast about you, that we're planting trees that we're never going to sit in the shade of, right? And that's what I want to be. I don't know if people need to know that, but that's what I really want to do, is because the more you mentor, the more immortal you become, right? It's like if you help somebody, they're going to remember you, and they're going to pass that forward to somebody.
Yeah,
they're going to pass it forward. So it's just like, I just want to serve, you know? And frankly, by serving and then staying open to the reciprocation and open to education and learning every day, I've made myself a very comfortable life monetarily. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just happened. It wasn't like that from jump, you know, but it was like just doing it and understanding that, dude, if I help these people, somebody else is going to hear about it. And, you know, this, because a lot of these coaches that you mentioned that kind of came out of COVID, they're like, look at me, I can help you. Look at me, which is fine. They probably are coming from a good heart. But
well, and sometimes it comes from a place of desperation. They're just trying to survive, right?
Make money and whatever they've got to do to pay their bills. But
yeah,
like when I can be like, here's 10 people and give them their phone number and be like, just have a talk with them. You know, they give me permission. Just ask them what I helped them with. I didn't do a thing. I'm a coach, not a consultant. You know, and ask them like how we remove the goop together out of that gap. And that's the best way that you can grow anything in life. If you're a realtor, right? You know, get testimonials from people. It's like whatever it is. If you're a babysitter, no one's going to watch your kid unless they have references. Like, really, that's the ammo. Like, if you build it up, you know, a lot of these coaches, like, I'm this much a month, dude. I coached so many free sessions. I think I have 1,100 hours of free sessions. Like, that's no joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I did 47 speeches pro bono before I got my first $250 paid speech. So be willing to give, receive feedback, be open to it, fail forward, and never freaking stop. Get whatever you want. It's just bottom line, you know, but as long as you're coming from service and knowing that you're helping somebody, it's never a lost cause.
I hear Bob Berg coming out of your mouth so much right there.
What's that?
I said, I hear Bob Berg coming out of your mouth right there.
Yeah.
Love Bob.
I saw him at breakfast this morning.
Did you? Yeah, we did our podcast and I told
heard
him,
it was awesome.
Like, I hear Bob talk and I hear Zig. Right. So back to what you said is like this, it's no new ideas. We're just taking great ideas and, you know, attaching our fingerprints to them and, you know, handing them back out. But this whole philosophy and, you know, Zig was amazing and his daughter is my mentor. And, you know, I love this whole premise. And I think the biggest takeaway that I'm hearing today, which I went into this just so excited because I never know what's going to come out of conversations with you ever, but I always come out anyway. It could be a text, like you just text me and I'm just like coming out with something amazing.
Thank you. Do the same back to you, kiddo. I mean, like, it's like you're right. We're like brother and different mothers just from different vistas. It's like it's the truth. And that's the thing. That's why we've literally stayed connected for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
We've never met, unfortunately, never met in person yet.
Yes, you know which is saying? A shame.
But that will change. And we share a birthday, you know? So
I think we need to celebrate our birthday together this year. I'm putting it out there. Susan, when you hear this.
Yeah,
when you
I'll talk to Susan because, like, we go there next month for, you know, with, you know, her daughter, you know, lives in FW, you know? So it'll actually work out perfect. The four of us scoot out for a nice dinner or something there.
Perfect.
I'm sure you know the area.
Love
if you're going to live there.
I know one or two places.
Yeah.
One or two places, but I just, every time I talk to you, it blows my mind, the people that you talk to and the people that you serve. And I'm not saying this in a I'm little way, but you are an amazing human.
Thank you.
Who gives so much. So for you to share your time with me makes me feel so humbled and appreciative. And I also see you living this message. You're not just saying give till it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, I literally see you living that.
Thank you. That
and
means
so,
a lot. I mean, it's true what you said. And I don't want to sound like a, you know, but it took me experience and setbacks to get to that frame of mind. And every day I wake up, I mean, 52 years old, I'll be 53 next month, and you start getting creaks and cracks in your body and knowing that you've got to do things a different way. And adjust, you know, and so I really, really appreciate those kind words.
I don't know why you make me emotional, Scott.
Oh,
it's all good. All good. I feel that when there are good people in the world that give so much, obviously you're getting good things, right? So the takeaway for people who are watching this as we begin to wrap up is to carefully choose the people who influence you, because you became this person because of who you allowed to influence you.
Yeah, you'll never outperform your inner circle, right?
Right.
You're close to people. You're never gonna And if you're hanging around with chickens, you're never going to soar with eagles. And there's nothing wrong with the chickens. We need chickens. Bottom line, there's just people have, you know, said, this is what I'm going to be, you know, and that's fine. Right. But I'm.
Yeah. Don't expect equal results if you're going to.
Right. You know, and you'll never outperform. That's something that Alex, a good friend of mine, Alex, said, you'll never outperform your inner circle. So it just really got me to never disrespect anybody and say, you're not in my inner circle, but just who I spend the most time with, you know, and do that and never turn anybody down that needs help, because your circle can never be too big, right? If someone really wants to join it, then yay, you know, more than welcome. You know, but you'll just never outperform it. So who you surround yourself with. I mean, the other cliche thing is, you know, show me your five friends, I'll show you your bank account, you know, and it is what it is. I mean, people are like, oh, that's monetary. And, you know, like money doesn't buy happiness, neither does poverty. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's like, you know, and again, I'm not saying, oh, you have to be like rich, but no, if you have you come from a servant heart, right? That does stuff without the inclination of wanting something back, but being open that if it does come back, you know, there's, I don't know, just like I did speaking events where I charged pretty much nothing, but I met somebody that I've been wanting to meet forever. Right. And then they'll be just there. And it's like, wow, that's God paying me back. You know, it's the universe for people that are more that way. That's the universe saying, hey, dude, you did this. Or like my goddaughter might call me and not ask for money for once. You know, I love you, Kelsey, but, you know, like, you know, it's like that, you know, it's like the things come from different places, you know, and you just be open to them. So, but now it's a lot of fun. I always love talking to you. I know we're going to collaborate on something. So, you know, let's get to work on it.
25 is our year to get into the same room, be in the same space and love on the same people. That's what we see.
That sounds awesome.
And if you're fortunate enough to be in that room, then you are one lucky soul.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. Well, final words for the Rock Movers before we sign off?
Yeah. You know, the happiest and most successful people that are out there live from their dreams and their imaginations and never their past. So just get out there, dream big, back that dream with education, take massive action, adjust and adapt on the fly, but never stop. It's my saying.
Inch by inch.
It's a cinch, baby. Love it.
All right. Thanks, Rock Movers.
Thanks, for being here. I really appreciate it. I love your guts.
We will see you on the next episode of the Rock Movers. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.